Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Ed, you and I were chatting off mic about these markets and the setup at the end of the year and some of these stories that don't seem to ever go away. One in particular being Brexit. You even made the comment to me that you're just getting tired of it. And hey, man, I agree. I got tired of it a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe, as it just continues to drag on. But then in the last couple of months, it came back up and there was a deadline. And you know what? It's just a sloppy transaction, I guess, if we can call it that. But either way, there are some sectors that you said you're focusing more on. So we're going to focus there. Most of these sectors are commodity focused. So let's start off with oil. Look, oil has been doing very well, better than a lot of the analysts have expected. It has pulled back a little bit, and even today, down again. But still, we're trading right around $47 a barrel for crude. That's not that bad, and that's still higher than a lot of other analysts that I respect had their targets for the end of the year. Ed, what do you think about the setup here for the oil sector? Is the oil price too high, or is everybody wrong, and oil is still an attractive trade here?
Well, I think oil was kind of the one last part of the COVID trade that, you know, has yet to really come to fruition here. And I think what we're seeing is there was strong optimism that, you know, we were going to, once we get past the winter wave, that the demand recovery was going to be rather steady. And I think right now what we're starting to have is several short-term risks that are really disrupting the outlook for oil prices. And some of that's the new COVID-19 strain that emerged from the UK. I think a lot of people are also concerned about, you know, vaccine execution. I think that, you know, there's strong optimism that, you know, the Warp Speed program is going to make this readily available. However, when speaking to other analysts and other traders across the country, I think that there's not an immediate sense of urgency as far as, you know, once the, you know, the frontline people are vaccinated, the at-risk populations, you know, how urgent people are willing to go get vaccinated. I think there's a little bit of a expectation that, well, I just want to see exactly how, you know, people are taking the vaccine and the side effects and whatnot, and seeing exactly, you know, if this virus mutates, you know, how effective these vaccines will be. So I think, you know, we could see that, you know, there was I think Dr. Fauci mentioned that, you know, we have things kind of be back to normal by mid-fall. But I think there was a big expectation that you were going to have people be, you know, rushing to get vaccinated by the end of April and going on their summer vacations and, you know, seeing, like, you know, the travel industry, you know, start to bounce back. And I think that we're starting to get, you know, a lot of red flags here that maybe we were a little bit too optimistic. And I think that's what's really kind of frustrating the trade with, whether you're trading WTI or if you're trading energy stocks, there's been a little disconnect here. And I think right now what we're seeing is, you know, oil prices have been fairly well supported because you had OPEC Plus continue to, you know, deliver a strategy that, you know, was helping, you know, get the market back towards balance. You know, as they slowly increase output, you know, there was that belief that, okay, well, you know, Asia is leading the recovery. Europe and the U.S., once they get past these waves, you know, they're going to contribute to the demand recovery. But now it looks like that first quarter outlook is a lot gloomier. And I think what we're seeing is there's a lot more risks. And I think, you know, at the start of the week, we had a trading update and more like a profit warning from Shell. Royal Dutch Shell just kind of noting that they're going to have another poor quarter and that they're going to possibly break down $4.5 billion in assets. And I think big oil is still struggling. And I think it's hard to you know, be optimistic that the demand recovery is going to be, as strong as we initially hoped. And that's going to really pressure these margins, I think, on these oil majors. So, you know, this upcoming earnings season could be a little bit difficult. But when you take a look at what, you know, price has done, you know, early in the pandemic, oil, no one wanted to touch oil or financials. And over the last 3 months, you know, oil has been one of the stronger performers. So I would not be surprised if we did see a little bit of weakness here in the short term. And possibly, I think people are still optimistic that we're going to see a return to the other side of COVID and have pre-pandemic life back. And I think that, you know, might not be a story until later in the year, but I think there's still a lot more volatility to price in, and I think oil prices will they still remain elevated, but I think, you know, there are risks building, and that, you know, if we ever have oversupply concerns kind of return, you know, we could see volatility increase a lot quicker than people are planning.
So Ed, does that mean that we can say you are short-term bearish, but when a reopen starts to happen for the economy, and because we don't know exactly when that'll be, that would turn you bullish? So short-term bearish, more longer-term bullish?
Yeah, and like when I submit my forecasts, you know, over the next few years, so, you know, it prices are going to steadily increase. But I think that in the short term, I think the markets are a little bit complacent, and I think we've had a lot supporting oil prices. There was the belief that you were going to have a much weaker dollar, which broadly provides a big boost for commodities. The Biden administration was going to be harder on U.S. oil production, and, you know, tighter supplies, tighter production is you know, going to be supportive for prices. And I think that, you know, we're, you know, we've really seen, you know, quite the rebound in prices. And I think the demand outlook in jet fuel consumption is not going to come back to pre-pandemic levels for over a year or two. And I think that's going to be the big headwind for oil prices. So I think short term, yes, we can definitely see prices kind of start to test possibly the mid-40s for WTI. And I think there's still tremendous optimism that the economy will snap back at some point in the year, and that's going to prevent a significant pullback. But I think that in the very short term, you know, probably throughout January, you could see prices struggle and be a little bit heavy.
Okay, let's move on to another commodity, gold. It's one that we talk about on a very regular basis. Gold has bounced back nicely from that recent pullback, continues to trade at generally the highest level that it ever has. I know it's not at all-time highs, but gold has never really hung around this kind of high 1800s, even 1900s for a prolonged period of time. And even today, we're seeing a little bit of weakness in the gold price, but overall, you can make the argument that gold is still setting up in a strong position, turning the corner into next year. What are the factors you're weighing for the gold trade, though?
Yeah, and I think right now what we're seeing is gold has really been quite the trade over these last few months. I think that there was a tremendous upside because there was a belief that we were going to continue to see unprecedented stimulus get pumped into the global economy. And as Congress really struggled, it took them months since the summer to finally deliver a fiscal relief package. I think right now we're going to see that there's this period until, you know, the Biden administration takes over where we're really not going to see much more stimulus come in. I think there's been a little bit of a disappointment with crude gold demand over the Diwali period. And I think right now there's a little bit of a pause, and I think in the bullish outlook, but I think that you're still going to see central banks and governments are not going to be easing up their efforts anytime soon. So I think that, you know, the prices still have a strong case for, you know, recapturing those record highs. And you're probably going to see that despite, you know, some I think short-term dollar strength. I think 2021, you're, I think, widely, you know, should anticipate that as the global economic recovery, you know, continues, you know, there'll be tremendous flows into emerging markets. The dollar will be a funding currency, and I think you'll still see that gold prices will really attract not just reflation flows, but I think you're going to start to see that there's going to be new risks that emerge, and I think that the taper tantrum is going to be probably one of the biggest fears, I think, towards the end of the year. And I think you're going to start to see investors will have to choose, you know, well, are they going to go into treasuries? Are they going to go into gold? And I think that you're going to start to see that, we'll probably start to get ETF inflows heading higher. And right now, I think there's been a big unwind of the gold trade as, you know, the vaccine breakthroughs happened. But now I think investors are still going to need some type of safe haven protection throughout a 2021 period, which will be very difficult to navigate because of all the stimulus that's getting pumped in. And eventually, they're going to have to slowly reduce it.
Now, do you think some of that safe haven trade is also going into Bitcoin right now? Because Bitcoin's been breaking out as gold was correcting and now bottoming. Do you see there being almost a war between which one is a better safe haven? Or is there going to be this rotation between both of these as a safe haven trade?
Bitcoin has been a tremendous story. I mean, it's been the best performing financial instrument this year, and I think what we're seeing is that there's a finite supply, and there's just been so much demand from PayPal, from MicroStrategy. You have all these funds or companies that are just buying cryptos, and it's really providing tremendous support. So I think you've had some investors say, well, yes, you know, it's the millennial gold. Those flows are not enough to warrant it to really truly be a safe haven. But yes, there's been, you know, several times when it did behave like a safe haven. But I think that ultimately you're probably going to see that it's all about mainstream acceptance. It's all about all that big money coming into cryptos, and right now it's kind of the trade that, you know, if you're an active money manager and as you know, you go to year end, you know, Bitcoin has been the best performing asset. And if you manage money and if your investors say, well, why are you not exposed to cryptos, you know, that's gonna look very poorly right now. So I think you're still seeing there's tremendous institutional demand that's still probably going to flow into Bitcoin. And right now, I think you're probably going to see investors, you know, unless we get those regulatory hurdles come back. And you know what? Guess what? The Treasury before the weekend brought those concerns back. You know, the SEC has a probe on the third largest crypto, Ripple. So I think there are still big risks. So the volatility will remain in place. But right now, it just seems that there's just too much big money getting coming into the crypto world or cryptoverse, as the initiated to call it. And I think you're going to see it be remain the most volatile trade early next year. A lot of people are going to just try to ride that momentum. So they rode it all the way up to almost 20,000 before. They brought it down to 4,000, and you know, we're now well beyond 20,000 and 23 and 4. So I think you're going to see the volatility remain in place. And for many people, it is a safe haven, but I don't call it that. I think it is something that, you know, is benefiting from all these unprecedented stimulus efforts. People are becoming believers. And as the volatility grows, I think that, you know, ultimately long-term will really, I think, scare away a lot of retail traders.
All right, Ed, we are wrapping it up there. Great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for taking some time today and focusing more on the commodities. In all fairness, commodities have been moving, and we're seeing a little weakness today, but that could also very much be because we are getting a bounce back in the U.S. dollar that had just recently broken down. Who knows if that bounce is going to be anything more than a simple dead cat bounce, but that does correspond to some of this weakness in some of these resources. Ed, thank you again for your time. I will post a link to that OANDA website. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays there, Ed.
Thank you. You too, Corey.